Foundations of the Faith. This is our long-running series on 1 Corinthians. This is part 14. And my title today is He Decides Who Gets What and When. Now, that is a literal quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 from the Message. And I thought it might summarise what I wanted to do today. So, what we've done so far is we've summarised a lot of 1 Corinthians by saying Paul had a big gospel and a small ego. A big gospel and a small ego. And do you know, that's a model for the rest of us. It really is. And during this series, we've talked about wisdom, eschatological rewards. And if you don't know what eschatological means, then just listen to the series online and it will tell you. Discipleship, immorality, marriage, food, idols, funding the ministry, building bridges, covering heads, breaking bread, and we have been talking the last two or three times about the pneumatic gifts of the Spirit. And what I'm going to do today is just summarize some of the last things about the gifts of the Spirit. And then all we've got to do is talk about the resurrection and the resurrection of the dead, which might just take us up to Easter Sunday. Okay? So, the Holy Spirit decides. Now look, this is something that should release our hearts and set us free. This could go either way, if you think about this. You can say, well, the Holy Spirit decides who gets the gifts, so that's why I don't have any. God doesn't want to give me any gifts. Elsie's saying that's not true, and Elsie's correct, as she normally is, to be fair. And we need to understand that this isn't a get-out clause to say that the Holy Spirit disperses the gifts as severally as he wills. I think that might be a King James translation going in my head. But the Holy Spirit does ultimately have the final say on who manifests what gifts. But he does what he always does. He responds to our desires and our prayers. And the truth is, everything in Christ is like that. It really is. You know, we follow Jesus because he called us. But we had to call back. We had to say, yes, Jesus. You know, Mary had that wonderful baby at Christmas. And she only had that baby because she said to the angel, let it be to me according to your will. She had to say yes. You know, it wasn't a foregone conclusion. She decided yes. And we have to recognize that God always involves us in the choice. It really does. And so the Holy Spirit does decide, but he responds to your desire. And that desire should be to bless, to encourage, to console, and to build up. And if that is your heart, if your heart is to be a blessing in the church, then can I suggest to you, it is almost inevitable that you will manifest the gifts of the Holy Spirit when you ask. If you ask, then God will look at you and say, what would work really well in that one? And that is what happens. So, what the Holy Spirit doesn't do, it doesn't respond to big egos. And, you know, if you're looking at this because you want to receive something that will give you extra points, when I was a kid in church, there was a hymn, saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. But what we used to sing was, I helped an old lady across the road today, and that's extra points for me. And, you know, that's naughty, naughty boy, Stephen. I always thought, Stephen, you were a good boy. Well, sometimes I was a naughty boy. And I used to sing that in church. And you know what? It's about, if you think it's about points, that you'll do better before God on the judgment day because you've done this, or that people will look at you and say, what a wonderful Christian, then give up now. Let's not go there at all. But even though the Holy Spirit decides, even though he responds to our desires and prayers, even though it's a lot of it is down to your own motivation, whether or not you want to be a blessing in the church, and remember, he doesn't respond to big egos, even though it specifically tells us in chapter 14, desire to prophesy. Now look, let's get this clear and make this really, really clear. The Bible would not tell you to desire to prophesy if it was never going to happen. And we have got to recognize that when we want to be part of God's kingdom, he will give us an opportunity to be a part. And if that part is to prophesy, what chapter 14 is really big about is that actually, if you really want to desire a gift, desire prophecy. Because that's the one that is really instant blessing to people. It instantly builds people up. So, this isn't to say that there aren't other forms of ministry. Worship. We had a great worship leader today. We also had a stand-in worship leader who didn't know she was going to have to lead anything. And we have had a number of people lead worship in this church over the years, and I thank God for every one of them. I really do. You know, it's absolutely great. And leading worship or playing an instrument in the band or standing there and singing, leading the singing, these things are all ministry. And we should remember that. And I want to encourage you. That is a true, true ministry. Testimony is a true, true ministry. Now, some of you might say, oh, well, that's only for Maureen, for Sandra, for Peter. But you know, it's not. There are lots of people that stand up here from time to time when they have got something to share, and it's a testimony. And your testimony is pretty powerful. The scriptures tell us that when there was war in heaven between Michael and the archangels and the angels against the devil and his angels, it says, and they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your testimony is powerful. Don't poo-poo it. Don't think, oh, nobody will ever want to hear from me. Well, if you're going to stand up and read out the weather forecast, people may switch off easily. But, you know, we want to know your story. In fact, I am told by reliable sources that the 21st century is the century of the story, that people want to hear your story. And I can say I experience this on the streets of York, or in my case, more often, the supermarkets of York, that people no longer spit at you for your testimony. They no longer ignore your testimony. But these days, people are interested in hearing your testimony. So let me encourage you. Our testimony is a powerful ministry. Service. I've already told you, my first ministry in church was giving out the hymn books. Well, we're not going to start doing that now because we don't have them. And I'm quite happy with the projector. So unless you're going to stand outside and hand the projector to everybody as they come in. No, but there are lots of things like setting up and setting down. Now, most of you are aware of setting down because you watch it. In fact, sometimes we're putting the chairs away a bit too quick, by the way, because sometimes people go over to the hatch and get a cup of tea, and when they come back, they've nowhere to sit. So let's have a little bit of thoughtfulness about that. But setting up happens as well. From 9 a.m., there's a group of us in here setting up. That means putting the chairs out. It means getting the breaking of bread ready. It means getting everything else ready in the kitchen. And of course, today, we've no Bill. So I look to you who also help in the kitchen and say, God bless you today. We need you. But you know, these are all things. Taking round the bread and the wine, that is a ministry. And we thank God for people that do that. Serving tea and coffee, food, tidying up. These things are all ministry. We had a lady join us a little while ago, and then she managed to find the church in Selby, and she goes there now, bless her. This was Una. And you know what? The first week she came, she went in that cupboard at the end and saw that big mop thing, and she mopped the floor, or she got all the muck together and then got a little dustpan and brush and put it in the bin. Nobody asked her to do that. I noticed. I honestly believe God noticed. And you know what? Every week she was with us, she did that. That's ministry. What am I saying? I'm saying that all of these things are valid. They are ministries. They are where you can help the church. They're just not the pneumatic gifts. And as I've said to you before, the list of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 is the pneumatic gifts, not the grace gifts, or what people call the charismatic gifts. The list of the charismatic gifts is in Romans. But the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 are very specifically in the Greek pneumatic. That means they are spiritual. They are all spirit. They are not, you know, like in Romans, we've got the gift of administration. That's a fantastic gift. Oh, believe me, people who can administrate, thank God for them. They're absolutely brilliant. But that's not actually a spiritual gift. And the gifts on this list that we've had read to us again today are all pneumatic. So, why would you want these gifts? Well, it says in 1 Corinthians 14 that we should seek to excel in building up the church. Now, I'm not saying this to have a dig at anybody. Please don't think that. But if you want to come to church to get a blessing, well, yes, you come along. We have lots of blessing here. We're happy to impart a bit to you. That's not a problem. But if you seek to excel in building up the church, that would be a reason to pray to God and say, God, what about these pneumatic gifts? Is there some way I can serve in that area? You see, sometimes we struggle getting people to make teas and coffees. Thank God for those that help. Really, you know, a little round of applause. You do a great job. You really do. But it doesn't mean we should neglect the pneumatic gifts. We need all of these things. All of these things are gifts to the church. They're all acts of service and acts of blessing. But the pneumatic gifts are part of it. And we shouldn't neglect them, okay? So if you want people to say, oh, he's a special person, or she's a special person, or if you like bells and whistles on your Christianity, or if you have an ego that needs massaging, then please don't seek these gifts. It isn't what they're about. let's have people who want bells and whistles in the kitchen. You know, seriously, we don't need to have to be looked upon as being excellent or special. No. And I don't believe that God gives them to people who want that. So when you are ministering in the gifts, the spiritual gifts, the pneumatic gifts, you should be doing so in the fear of God, recognizing that you're only a vessel. Now, I can only speak to you out of personal experience here, but I can tell you, I was years before I could give a message in tongues, interpret or prophesy without shaking, without being terrified. Because the Bible says, you know, you are judged on what you do. And if you're taking on some of these things and messing up, God makes a note of it. And I'm not suggesting that a lot of people even do that, because in my experience, most people don't mess up. And I want to encourage you, you know, take a step of faith. That would be really cool if you did. But what we must remember is that we stand before God for what comes out of our mouths. That can sometimes mean that sometimes we've got to watch our mouths during the week. But I'll tell you what, in church, we also need to watch our mouths. And we need to recognize that if we are ministering in the pneumatic gifts, that we have a responsibility to God for what comes out. So just bear that in mind. And I'm not trying to put the fear of God into you. I'm just saying, I think it's a reality. I think it is a reality. Don't be worried about being a bit worried. Because, you know, we stand or fall before God our Father. And if God can see that your heart is right and that your motives are pure, it will work out well. So, I want to summarize now these 9 pneumatic gifts. And roughly speaking, they fit ideally into 3 groups of 3. The first one, we'll call them the speaking gifts. These are the gifts that start with tongues or languages. I really think languages is a better term for them. But when we say tongues, most people know what we mean. So I will probably still say tongues most of the time. This is a gift for the church. The pneumatic gift of speaking in tongues is a gift for the church. It is a message in a foreign language. There is also the gift of tongues for you, which is the thing you do when you're praying, the thing you do maybe when you're at home alone, the thing that you do that Paul says builds you up. And so we pray in tongues. And, you know, I tried to do some of that every day, which just is a discipline for me. And I tell you what, I feel so much better afterwards. But that doesn't do you any good. So when we come together as a body of Christ, what we need to do is do things that bless the church rather than just bless me. And so speaking in tongues is half of a gift. We need someone who interprets. And so when I was a young man in church, they used to tell me, well, seek the gift of tongues first, because you can take heart that nobody will know if you've said it wrong. Now, you know, that's a very realistic point. But, you know, it's still a matter of we have to take a step of faith. And a message in tongues is normally during a service, and someone will typically stand up, but they don't have to stand up, and they will say something in a foreign language, and a language that's not English, a language that may not be known in the room, although on occasion I've known that happen, to speak in a a foreign language that the user didn't know, but there was someone in the room that knew it. But that then we need the gift of interpretation. Now, tongues plus interpretation is as much as anything the same as prophecy. And this is why it's like a faith step. If you believe you can stand up and say something that is, you might very well know it's very profound, but you may not know what you're saying. And then someone needs to have the gift of interpretation. And that is a step of faith. All of these things, they require faith. And it's just a matter of trusting God. But what you're saying is for the church. It's not for the person who just did the message in tongues. It's for the church. Now, it might be that there are only certain people in the crowd that day that need that message. But that's okay. I have been there so many times where someone has said, oh, wow, I really needed to hear that. That was God speaking to me. And I remember one particular time I thought, well, that did nothing for me. But it did something for other people, and that's what matters. And we need to understand the gifts in the church are for the whole body, not just for us. And it might go whoosh over the top of your head, but for others, it will be something. So prophecy is the gift that most directly builds up the church, and that is spoken in English, and you stand up and say a message. And, you know, sometimes it can be incredibly simple. And there's no reason why it shouldn't be. There's no reason why God would want to make it overly complicated. But we share what we believe God has given us. And let me encourage you, to prophesy is to build up the church. And there is no other reason we should want it or desire that gift other than to build each other up. And that is a wonderful thing. Then there's the three knowing gifts. And the first one is the distinguishing between spirits. Now, this one is a gift that people get really mixed up about, because the King James Version talked about discernment of spirits. And in people's minds, they forgot the of spirits. And so I've heard people talk about, oh, I've got the gift of discernment. Well, actually, there is no such gift. It's a gift of distinguishing between spirits. It's a gift where you know the source of what's happening. So somebody might prophesy. Someone who has the gift of distinguishing between spirits may be able to say, so, that doesn't sound right. You know how the tables of the money changers worked in the temple? The big money changers, the people who had the money to start with, they had a sheet of glass on their table. And glass cost a fortune to make in the first century. And when they dropped a coin on it, it made a sound. And the money changer knew what the sound of a silver coin was. They knew what the sound of a gold coin was. They knew what the sound of a bronze coin was. And they recognized whether it was a genuine coin by the sound. And that is why Jesus turned the money changers' tables over to smash the glass so they couldn't carry on their trade in the house of God. And that is not being naughty, that is being godly and holy. So please don't misunderstand what Jesus did. But the gift of distinguishing between spirits is like hearing the sound and saying, now that doesn't sound to me like it came from God. Now, very rarely will you see anybody stand up and say, that was wrong, it was from the devil. Well, do you know what? I think that we need to recognize that some things that have to be said only need to be said in a certain way. And I have been in rooms where people have stood up and said things, and you know, one time I expressed it this particular way, and it stuck with me because sometimes people are speaking out of their flesh. And I remember one time saying, I was saying to the pastor of the church I was preaching at, I said, if that young lady showed any more flesh, it would be indecent. Now, this young lady stood up and said something, and it was not a message from God. And he understood what we meant, and we had a little word with her afterwards. There wasn't any harm done. We just encouraged her. Listen, you're doing well trying to seek for prophecy, but that was not quite right. And let us encourage you to go back and seek God again. Because nobody wants to come down heavy on people. We don't want to do that. We want to encourage you. Because if you're having the desire to minister and you're starting to, what we really want to do is pour water on that. Not cold water that'll make you feel, but water that will make you grow. We want you to be blessed. So, it's a bit like a lie detector test, really. You know, you watch these needles going up and down, and a trained person can tell whether you're telling a lie or not. Well, we sometimes need to understand what God is saying is not necessarily what is being said to us. So, and that, I would suggest to you, is most commonly seen after prophecy. Because one person at a time will speak, and then others will weigh it up. And that is involving this gift of distinguishing between spirits. And sometimes someone with a gift of distinguishing between spirits will actually say, actually, that was demonic. And then something has to be done. But again, we do these things with sensitivity and love. Then there's the gift of the word of knowledge. And that can simply be defined as you knowing something you simply couldn't have known. So one day I was working at PC World, which is a long time ago now, 21 and a half years since I left PC World. And I was on duty with another manager, you know, one of us would open up, one would close up, and in the middle of the day there were two of you on duty. And I was stood talking to her, and I just felt to say to her, you know, God knows that man abused you. Now, when you think about it, if you stop to think about it, you'd never say anything. Because when I think about that now, I think, how did I dare say that to her? But it was just a moment, you know, and the Holy Spirit just dropped it into me. We were at the front of the store, and she began to cry. And she said, come into the office with me. And we went into the office. She said, who told you? How did you know that? And I said, well, I was just praying for you, and I believe that God dropped that into my heart. Then she was totally mystified. She said, tell me more. So I began to tell her about the love that Jesus had for her, and that her heavenly father, the one who wanted to be her father, was not like a man on the earth, and that he would not abuse her. And you know what? That was a great moment in that woman's life. Now, that, I didn't know that. There's no way I could have known that. She lived in Manchester and commuted to Leeds. And I lived in York and commuted to Leeds. And we just met up in the shop. You know, there's no way I could have known that naturally. But that's the pneuma of God, the Spirit of God, giving you knowledge. Then the other knowing gift is the gift of the word of wisdom. And this is when you're giving a direction or understanding that is beyond your natural ken. There's no way you would have known to give that person some direction. And, you know, sometimes you just need to say some, I just feel I need to say this to you, and you can take this or leave it, but, you know, perhaps it's time to change your path. Maybe it's time to change direction. God wants you to know. And things like that are a word of wisdom. The last of the three are the doing gifts. These are the doing pneumatic gifts. And healing is the only one of these gifts that's in the plural in the Greek. So these are gifts of healings. Now, what does that mean? Well, technically, it does mean that someone could be given a gift to heal back problems. And I use this as an example because I was in a meeting once, and I have never met a man like this who had a gift of healing backs. And I think we had about 28 people have their backs healed that day, and it was quite remarkable. What was interesting to me, there were people there who had other ailments and problems that needed healing, but he couldn't go near them. And, you know, sometimes gifts of healings are for the moment. And let me say to you, all the gifts of the Spirit are in the moment. They aren't something that once you've got them forever. They are there to be used when they're fresh. You don't want something that's old and smelly being distributed around later. What you want is something fresh from Jesus, fresh from the Holy Spirit. And these gifts are like that. So it's you're restoring health to someone. Now listen, Jesus went around, and this is scripture, he went around healing the sick. Yeah? He said to his disciples, greater things than these will you do. And the first thing you read is that in the book of Acts is the disciples went around healing the sick. John lays hands on a man at the beautiful gate going into the temple who had been there, I think I've got this right, for 40 years. Yeah. And Jesus went to the temple all the time when he was in Jerusalem. So why didn't Jesus do it? Well, there were different ways to go into the temple. It might be that Jesus hadn't gone that way, to be fair. But he also was leaving people for the disciples to bring healing to. And remember when it says people would move their sick relatives into the line so that Peter, as he was going past, his shadow would touch them and they would be healed. So there are lots of ways this gift works. And all I would say is never question the opportunity to pray for the sick. You never know. You just never know. But let's always pray for the sick. This to me is the real tough one. This is the gift of miracles, which means performing creative, supernatural acts. So, if you've got a bad leg and God heals it, that's healing. If you haven't got a leg and you grow a new one, that's a miracle. Now, I'm using an extreme example there, but a miracle has got a creative element in it. And it's more than just a healing. And we don't want to get pedantic or we name this is a healing, this is a miracle. We don't have to go around afterwards with a checklist and write down No, madam, that wasn't a miracle. That was just a healing. We don't need to get there. But what we do need to understand is miracles are quite special thing. Jesus turned water into wine. That wasn't a healing. God didn't heal the grape, you know, and all of a sudden the wine reformed into a grape and it went and stuck itself on a tree. No. That would have been a miracle. But no, the real miracle was when he turned water into wine. That's creative. And, you know, I've met people who have done some very creative things, really creative. And I remember being in a room where I was just standing up the front, helping the queue go down, and the minister for the night was praying, and he had this word of knowledge. He said, there's a woman here, and you can't pick your own children up. You never had a back problem until you had your first baby. And the minute you got that baby, you started being unable to lift. And this woman came forward, and I recently, this happened 25 years ago, and I recently met her pastor. And he said to me, oh yes, she's doing well, no problem at all. Never had any problem with that back ever since. And when he prayed for her, there was a horribly loud sound in the room that sounded like bone cracking, like bone breaking. And all of a sudden, she was a couple of inches taller. And was that a healing? Well, no. You see, I would say that was a miracle. God did something creative in that woman. And all he did was tell her, you were never loved, and you were worried that when you had children, you would never love them. And this back thing happened because of that. And she had a whole back. And I can tell you now, it's only a few months ago that I heard this, she still has a whole back. And that's really wonderful. You know, miracles do happen. I was there when Reinhard Bonnke laid hands on a woman, and her book is still selling in the shops now. And she was unable to stand. She was in a wheelchair, and that was because of damage to her heart. She couldn't, I don't know if it was the blood pressure or whatever, but she could not stand. There wasn't the energy because her heart was so damaged. And I was there the night she got up and ran around the room out of that wheelchair. And I was there the following year when he invited her up to give her testimony. And, you know, I was there at the one event at Lincoln only a few years ago, when all of a sudden a woman starts running round the big top. She ran around the big top, I believe it was 7 times. And it's a little bit off-putting when you're trying to listen to a preacher. And afterwards, a number of us went to her and said, are you all right? She says, I am now. I came in that wheelchair. And that man started to say, today will be the day of your miracle. And I got up out of that wheelchair and look at me now. And I saw it. I was there. You know, these things do happen. And we need to lift our faith and say, Lord, do it again. And then the last one is the gift of faith. Now, this is difficult because faith is a word that we read all the way in our Bible. It's the Greek word pistis. And it means to believe in, to trust in, or it can also mean well, it doesn't matter what it can also mean, because that's going off on a rabbit warren. But what matters is that we think of it, oh, well, I just have to trust in God. I just have to put my faith in God. The gift of faith is imparted. It's given to you. And it works differently to faith in our Bibles, because Romans 10:17 says faith comes from what is heard, or faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is heard comes from the word of Christ in a modern version. Now, that means when we read our Bibles, or we have it read to us, when we grasp that word, it stimulates faith within us. But the gift of faith doesn't come that way. It's just given to you in a flash. And all of a sudden, you've got faith, and you didn't actually have the fact that it was Isaiah 61 verse 3 in mind or anything like that, because it didn't come from you reading the scriptures. So the gift of faith is belief in God for the extraordinary that is beyond the norm. So, you know, we could talk about that for ages, but it is a very real thing. And so some of these gifts, that the doing gifts, or sometimes people call them the power gifts, these are difficult for us to handle because we aren't used to seeing them. But then when you think about it, we aren't used to hearing tongues, interpretation and prophecy. We aren't used to knowing knowledge, wisdom and distinguishing between spirits. All of these things, we have to take a stab on God, and we have to trust him and say, Father, I'm going to believe you. And let me encourage you, it's worth it, because what the church will get from you doing these things will be outstanding. Etiquette. Two or three people should prophesy when you meet together. Now look, it's another thing if there's someone ministering and he's got an individual word, and you're coming out to the front and someone says, this is the word for you. That's another thing. But for the church, there should only be two or three prophecies or tongues and interpretation together. And that is because, very, very simple, if I was to prophesy here 32 times today, who could go home and remember them all? I struggle with three. Well, yeah, I mean, you might remember one, someone else might remember another, but will we all remember all of what was said? No. And God doesn't want to bamboozle you. These are the Holy Spirit gifts, they're not the bamboozlement gifts. Oh, I'm going to fool them today, I'm going to tell them so much that they won't be able to take it all out. No. And that's why, you know, if a fourth person stands up and prophesies, you will probably see me go up to them and put my hand on them. That's all right now. That's time to sit down. Because sometimes we have to recognise that people have had enough to process. And do you know what? I can remember prophecies over me, some of them that were decades ago. And you don't want that to be something that you can't even remember that same night. You want it to be something that you can remember. Are you with me? So that's etiquette. Don't be the fourth person, please. Verse 22 to 25 in chapter 14. Have respect for unbelievers in the meeting and the testimony of Jesus. Just remember what you're doing. Other people are seeing, and there might be first-time visitors. There might be people that are just visiting from another church for the day, and they might not have a clue what you're doing. And we don't want to bring the testimony of Jesus into disrepute by looking like we're nutters. Now, forgive me, the word nutter is a technical word. But, you know, you don't want to look like you're an absolute idiot. But what we do is have respect for the word of God and respect for the God whose word it is. And that is good etiquette in the house of God. And verse 15, Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray in English and understand. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with my understanding. So, it's perfectly all right to sing. It's all right. I've heard people interpret in the set to the same tune, which I think is quite as outstanding. I don't think I've ever done that, but it's pretty good. I do remember doing it once. But it's just a matter of it's okay to sing and it's okay to speak. You speak, don't you? You sing, don't you? Well, it's all right to do that in the Spirit too. And it's good. It's good etiquette. And here's the big one. This is the line that people forget, and it's so critical. It's verse 40 of 1 Corinthians 14, and it says, these things must be done decently and in order. All these things must be done. Now, there's a heck of a lot of stuff in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 that talks about these gifts. And it says all of these must be done. So we need to get on with it. We really do. Doesn't mean they all have to be done every week. We don't want to have a thing where we have three of you queuing up. Who wants to be the person who brings the prophecies today? One, two, three, four. You'll have to go back, sit down. We don't want to be doing any of that. We just want to chat, to take the chance to hear from God. And you know what? I want to hear from God. Libby and I, we love a song by, it was actually written by Sandra Crouch, but Andre Crouch sang it for years. We need to hear from you. We need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, what will we do? It's a great song. And I often find myself singing that in the car when I'm driving. And often when I'm on way to church, Lord, we need to hear from you. So everything must be done decently and in order. So it doesn't want to be everybody doing something at the same time. I was once in a room where we were all encouraged to prophesy at the same time. Well, that was just crazy. That were crazy. I mean, how's that going to help anybody? Somebody near me said, oh, I heard the man in front of me said this, and it was really encouraging. Well, nobody else heard it. All I'm suggesting to you is there needs a little bit of order. It doesn't have to be regimented. It just needs to have a little bit of order, and it certainly should be done decently. But this should all be done, and that's what's really important. These are here to be used. They're here to do. Now, in summary, seek to be a blessing. Love one another. That's the meat in the sandwich, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. The love is all about the pneumatic gifts. It's about that we should love one another so much that we serve God in these gifts together. And then we should build each other up. That's the okidomi thing. It's the brick building term that's used in the Bible for building each other up. And what did we start with when we started talking about the pneumatic gifts? The first verse of 1 Corinthians 12 says, now brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant about the spiritual. Some Bibles insert the word gifts there. I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. But actually, there is no word gifts in the Greek. It's just, I don't want you to be ignorant about the spiritual. And sometimes we need to be reminded that we shouldn't be ignorant about the pneumatic. And that is ultimately, if it's the first thing that Paul says about it, we need to remember that. And we're doing it last, but we have said it before. But that is something we should remember. So will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much that you give gifts in the church. We thank you for each and every one of them. We thank you, Lord, that they're precious. We don't see them all every week. Sometimes we don't see them all every month. But we thank you that we see them. We hear them. And we are enriched by them. We thank you for every word that comes from you. And we want to say, Almighty God, how much we thank you that you speak to your church today. You're still doing it. And Lord, as long as we live, we will ensure it continues. We thank you, Father, that the gifts of the Spirit have continued throughout church history. But we thank you particularly that in our day and generation, they are much more widely accepted. And Lord, we rejoice in that. So Lord, we just say, as the weeks go on in 2025, will you release amongst us more gifts? Can we hear them, Lord? Can we receive them? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.